Okay, we're going to make a third attempt to finish the Mishnah. We've seen a pattern that's taken us through the first major sections, to this major section of the Mishnah. Once we pass the Yom HaSarayv, so we found that the pattern we've seen in the first and the second stages of the Mishnah, that's a very strong indication that the third part of the Mishnah will fall right into line. So, speaking about lines, we said that there's three parts of a line, right? The beginning of the line, the middle line, the end of the line. The way to make a straight line, so you have to get the beginning point and the end point very, very exact. And we spoke about the beginning point on the first part, Kriya Shma. We also spoke about last week the very great importance of drawing the line. You just have the theoretical points. You never draw the line. But it's still not yet sufficient. Even if we've started off in the right direction and we're going through the process properly, we still have to put our sights clearly and properly on the end point. And that's tonight's, according to the formalization, that's the third part of the Mishnah. And the first part of the Mishnah, on the surface, doesn't seem to be wanting to play ball. So we had a few problems with it. One is, why is he telling me that I wasn't planning to do it anyway? So, before we understand what it is that Hashem is trying to tell us, we have to understand who it is that he's speaking to. What's the assumptions here that without Reb Shimon would have brought us to assume that the proper result is that a person think that he's a Rosh. And then Reb Shimon is going to come along and clarify to us, don't make that mistake. But even though there is room to think that way, it's not right. But I'll tell you Rosh if they ask me. And where's the end point here? We said, well, I don't quite see how it... You see it? Anybody give me a hint? Help, sorry. So the very thing, I believe, today had work a kid. Yes, he wrote it 800 years ago. And he gave us a hint. He gave us a directional. He sent us out to understand this mission in a way that would not, for us, have been obvious from the words. Alti Arosha. It's interesting that throughout the Roshonim, some of them quote the Rebbe, you know, that they seem all to go along with this basic Yisoid. Basic Yisoid is, he says like this, Al tei Rosh v'nei Atzmecha, shelo yiye be'enei Atzmei Rosh, she'ein lo yochel la'atzmo b'tshuva. He says, you know what the sugi that we're talking about, the sugi is true. I was really wondering what the sugi is. And the words himself don't quite give us the hint. But the Rebbeinu Yonah tells us quite clearly, he makes the statement that the Alti Arosh Bifnei Atzmecha is in relationship particular to the prerequisites for the necessity of doing tshuva. We had, just to keep the patterns clear, we had tshuva in the early Mishnah, the first of the five, the Belezer Yimeh, so the third of his was also Shuv Yimeh, the name is also. But we want to say Tshuva, so that's a very clear way of saying it. So at least there we know what it is that we had in mind. We may repeat some things that we said then in the Shir question because I don't remember exactly what we said. But B'chol Eifin, the rebellion unit takes the aside of Tshuva and tells us that the direction that Al Tia Roshav Ne'atzvah is referring to is the Sukhi of Tshuva. This is the point he gave us in October, he gave us a address, what the Sukhi is. So let's see if we can get some understanding of the relationship between the idea of Alti Yosh Pnei Atzmecha and the idea of Tshuva. In particular, and from this, hopefully, we'll come up with some understanding of the third part of Rav Shimon's Seder. Again, let's just remind ourselves that Be'etzem, Rav Shimon is talking about very high madrigas. But, as I was, Mahalach wasn't, especially the last two Mishnais, the high madrigas are important to us also, even if we're not holding that level, but it can give us direction even according to our madrigas. A person is involved, for whatever reason, in the sugya of tshuva. Let's say, for the reason that Yom Kippur is coming. It's a classical reason why to get involved in tshuva. Now, here at least, we can certainly hear why a person would start off with an assumption that he's a Russian. Because if he wasn't in a Russian, he did chet. He didn't do chet, then he didn't prove it. So, certainly, if we're talking about the subject, we're talking about a person who's in the process of tshuva. So, one second, I'm sure I don't understand. Of course he has to see himself pre-tshuva as a rasha. If he's not a rasha, why is he doing tshuva? So there's a simple approach, which is also true. And that is that it seems that Rishonim don't do tshuva. A real Russia, the real McCoy, Rishonim afil ha-piskon shel ge'ed. Maybe once they get in, yeah. But then it's too late. But if they're one step, they're falling in. It's just, until they're inside, they don't do tshuva. But Rishonim mleim charat kirim. A person who's a Russia truly doesn't do, but he misgivings on things that he knew are not according to his own understandings of right and wrong, that he has to the number of the seeds of the rima. Tzaddik does true. What's the difference? If the Russia recognizes that he did something wrong, and the Tzaddik recognizes he does something wrong, so the Russia feels bad, but doesn't do tshuva. And the Tzaddik feels bad and does tshuva. What's the difference? So one of the basic defining differences between a Tzaddik and a Russia, Rabbi Yochum says this in a place, and there's a Makor for this in a Chazal, but let's hear it just on technical terms. We can hear it just simply how it works. Everybody is made up of a neshama and a guf. The ein tzaddik ba'oretz she'yaseh teiva la'yichdo. Nobody in the world is perfect. Everybody's got their ma'alos. Everybody's got their hasrayos. Their ma'alos generally will bring them to do nice and tovim mitzvahs. And the hasrayos have a tendency to bring people here and there to do aveiros. At one point or the other, each one according to the type of hasrayos that he has. Most people are quite general, meaning that although they may have individual pockets of special chassarim, they also have general chassarim, which will give them the capability of coming to the whole gamut of avodos in different possibilities in different situations. On the other hand, they also have a whole general positive backing for them. And this should, generally, keep them from doing any of this. So, how does it work? So, Desta clarifies this very clearly. And he says that the marshal that you have to know that the way it works is that a person is made up of the Mechama Sayyidze, is literally a Mechama, and there, in any Mechama there are generally three territories. And it's my territory, the enemy's territory, and the territory where battleground. Right? This area is clearly in my hands, this area is clearly in his hands, and then there's a territory in the middle of it. There can be fluctuation back and forth, but it goes from here till here, more or less. Right? And then, there are two basic forms of the way the war is fought. There's the daily confrontations, where the changes are a little bit more this way, a little bit that way. He hits you, you hit him back. You know, the, within the realms. And then there are the special circumstances that come where there's a major turning point in the war, where there are rare opportunity for somebody to make a major move that changes the whole battle plan. It could be the whole area of the battlegrounds moves over a few hundred miles. It can be that the type of war changes. But actually, yeah, there are two types of Bechiras. He calls it Bechira Klali and Bechira Prati. Bechira Prati means within the grounds of the predefined battleground. And Bechira Klali is when you have the rare opportunity to change the ground rules, to change the whole area, the form, situation. This is true for everybody. Tzaddikim and Rishayim together. Rabbi Yochanan gives the following definition. The basic difference between a Rosh and a Tzaddik. Let's just clarify, there shouldn't be a mistake. In this particular form of Tzaddik and Rosh that we're talking about, there's a Tzaddik and Rosh and Din, that's what we usually talk about when we use the word Tzaddik and Rosh, and that's caused by Rav. Rav Maisim, Rav Mitzvahs against Rav Avayers, like Rav explained. But the Rav is not numerical, the Rav is according to value, and only the Baruch knows the real values of everything. But the whole Eitman goes by Rav. But here we're talking about a different concept of Tzaddik and Rosh, which is before the person is coming to go through the process of life and Tchiyu and Mechamas and Yetzer, but as a starting point, is he starting as a Rosh? Is he basic? What is he Be'etzer? What are we dealing with? Are we dealing with Be'etzer and Tzaddik? Are we dealing with Be'etzer and Rosh? And Yochanan tells us that we have a basic definition for it, which happy is the one who hears his definition and feels better about it, and sad is the one who hears his definition and feels uncomfortable. But the definition is very, very slicingly clear. A tzaddik is the one who's fighting the war, who knows this is a war, who recognizes that there's his forces and my forces, and there's no escaping the fact that there's a confrontation, and it's going to be an ongoing confrontation, and that's the reality of life. The Rosh is the one who doesn't want to accept that basically there is a Mahomes. He wants peace. Yeah. And he's got the wrong world. This world, Ayyum Nasais, Mohalakam Schor, Bikish Yakayuri, Shay Vashal, one piece. I shouldn't tell them that. Sorry, you got the wrong world. Even you, Yaakov, you know, after everything that you did, you're still in the world. As long as you're in the world, you're at a battlefront. In a battlefront, you can't put up your feet in battle. There's no putting up your feet in battle. So the basic definition of tzaddik in Russia that Rav Yochanan gives us is a yesodistic attitude of whether I'm in the running or I'm running from the runnings. Whether I see myself as a combatant or as I am trying to figure out how to get out of this situation. If I can deny it, if I can do away with it, if I can create some type of defense mechanism which can, in my imagination, give me some either security or yish, another form of security. These are the two extremes of mistakes of how a Russia defines himself out of battle. Either he creates for himself cocoons of systems that do the work for him. And basically say that as long as you buy the right hechsher and say to kids their right school and you live in the right neighborhood, so then that's it. You're in a cocoon and the Yitzhar Harsh. I mean, there is no Yitzhar Harsh in Tel Aviv. Yeah. What? Yeah, I mean, but like, you know. But where we live, like, the kids our whole lives are on the outside of the battlegrounds. The battlegrounds is over there, those people, other times, the other generations. Right? So those generations have it, but we have it like, you know, basically beside. That's one way. That's the lower form. And the higher form, which is worse and better. It's better because it starts with a greater maturity. It's worse because it's harder to get. A person who, especially if he's lived several years in the dimune of security of the cocoons, and then one day he wakes up with the stark reality that his security net is full of holes, and the Yitzhar is on the other side of the wall, and now he's in close, intimate contact with him, like a and, you know, face-to-face battle. It's not over there. He's inside. All those cocoons, you know, but he's inside. So that's a problem. So now a person starts making a cheshbon and nefesh, and he comes to a better understanding of what prayer is all about, and what life is all about, and the realities of Yitzhar. And he starts adding it up. Checklist. How am I doing today? Takes out the phrase. Yeah. Storybook about the Chofetz Chaim or something. Compares his life to that. Not a very good grade today. Right, how about tefillah? Not so good there either. Right, how about chesed? Chofetz Chaim? Not so good. Even if he doesn't go to that extreme of making a mistake, but he adds up according to his theoretical own expectations from himself. The natural tendency for the proper thinker, to a certain degree, is also to come out with some person between him and himself, right? Nobody else is looking. He's adding it up on a piece of paper. That's talking about the Chofetz Chaim. You take that down a few levels until you get to the 70 billion levels. And it seems to be a total, absolute impossibility. If a person has to accept upon himself one or two titles, either Beseder or Lo Beseder. Tzadik and Rosh Hashanah, we cringe away from those words. But let's call it Beseder and Lo Beseder. Right. So the natural, proper result is that if a person at least doesn't get there first, then he's totally out. Forget it. He's got some gaiva problems. He should get his glasses checked because he has some perspective problems. He doesn't have very clear eyesight. Maybe he needs a mirror. But b'chol eifin, an original assumption on the first 7-8 times through, a person has to come out with a not a tremendously great scorecard. If we would go home when we were kids from school with a report card like that, I don't think Avanima would have liked it very much. And there's a problem. There's a problem. Because as long as a person, what do? We have this scorecard and it doesn't look that great. What do? So the basic form of behavior, forget about the cocoon people, we're talking about the person who's left the cocoon and have realized that it's a gain soul. And once he leaves the cocoon, he realizes that the situation is not so. So, if a person will be blatant himself, when's the last time did he come to this conclusion? Which is a very good possibility that at best it was last year before Rosh Hashanah came. Bogaty Wesley. Maybe. But who is the same as a true vampire? There's enough there. Okay, that's the vampire. Russia, it's you know, haven't learned the Pesach yet. We're going to talk about Shulman now. Talking to the Tzimishan, okay, that's the Mishnah. I'm sorry, it's the Mishnah, Benin said so. So, to make that as worse, and to connect ourselves up to the Mishnah, that the whole form and flow of the Mishnah. The second point and the third point of the Mishnah were brought together by a pasuk. Ki cholun v'racham hu erech hapayim v'erech chesed v'nichon alero. We spoke about it last time, this pasuk, in terms of the tefillah, in terms of the middle area of life. How to go through the daily struggles. But now there's a ve'alti erosh v'nei atzvach, there's a proper chibur, which means that the third part of the Mishnah is also relating to this pasuk. Nidmeli, ve'ali, which word to use. But the way that we manage to survive and not deal with the issue is because of the midah of Erech HaPayim. The Rebbeinu Shlom Bemet has such a midah, and without it, we would the world couldn't exist. Because Kipshutai, there would be no Erech HaPayim, and as soon as the first time the person goes wrong, that would be the end of the midah Shlom. But there's a sakona in Erech HaPayim. Because a person has the capability, the person gives him that capability to live in a new life. There's a new world outside where you can be not Beseder, and that's also okay. Where I'm not Beseder, but that's not the issue right now. Right now, what do I need? I need Panoso. I need... Oh, okay, it's a whole list of things that person needs. So I dive in, and the bunch will give it to you. Try, you see what? Oh, Hashem. Anybody starving, I'll send a bit of their clothes. Hashem, marriage, children, anything. Say, rain. And we brought it to Russia for that. It's the rain. It's us. We did that, right? Who did that? Huh. Tefillah, rain. Put on the rain there. So, basically, Lamaisi, if you make the Hezbollah, I use it as seven, it's Olech. Does it work? Is life workable? I know the Rishon runs the world. But in my part, does it work? So, personally, the reality of the fact that life seems to give you the breathing room, and you're given all the opportunities. You're even given beyond what's the call of duty, you know, that's not they give you the minimum. With chesed, with ahava, everything we talked about last week. And that's the proper attitude towards all of that. But after Peking, the reality, second, the end point exists. To hear it in the clarity, we're going to go the hardest of all routes. In all of the Ma'irin and the Tshuva, the most difficult and least pleasant, most run from all of the Tshuva that there is Yirin Nisi. That is the end point. If anybody here under the age of 35, so Yirin Nisi says that Bizbeinus in Yirin Nisi is like a pencil or something, which is a very high dosage for Sahirus Lachuba. And not everybody is capable of taking large doses. So the Bein Yonah says by the time you get to middle age, halfway through the Shivim Shana, by the time you're 35, then you should have enough maturity, enough responsibility, that this should be constantly on your mind. mashma that until then, we're not yet capable of dealing with it on a daily basis. And maybe with the 800 years of Skatnas Hedaris from then, maybe even past 35, we don't quite have the capability of dealing with this on a daily basis. However, we have to deal with it. It's something that it is the end point. And a person's lifeline, which is what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, is incomplete unless he's going to, doesn't have to bring it on every day, doesn't have to live with it on a constant basis, but it must be part of his formalization of life. There is an end line. There is an end of the line. Everything that a person does, everything that a person is going to, all is going to end up at the culmination, the high point, the most spectacular, wonderful day of his life. The day that he dies. The only thing is that most people don't really look at that day as worse. Most people don't look at that day at all. Because it's scary to the point that, again, why is it so scary? Why is it so scary? So there's a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons why it's so scary is because it is the end. The end. The end is scary, just by definition. It doesn't need explanations. Explanations don't take away and don't help. Like, the end is scary because the end is scary. Also, whether we like it or not, we've been up there in the basic club. There's this club of people, Dyer's Club. Then once in a while we find some, usually it's an older relative or a friend, sometimes even a little younger person, who took out membership in that club for some reason. And we had to go through a vibe. And then we saw that, you know, they dig a hole in me, you know, put the guy in there, and they say, Kaddish, and walks away, and they're like, that's the end. We have this shiver that comes to talk about it, but then they forget about that too. And they're like, then life goes on. And a person doesn't pick himself up from that, right? Doesn't go on, so you're bringing the Rabban or Mother Psychologist or somebody to make sure that, life goes on. Life goes on. But, those who are living, life goes on. That's it. Without Chiyus HaMeisim. Chiyus HaMeisim is a sort of loss of bubble. But right now we're talking about Olam HaZeh. We're talking about how to live life. And we're talking about the life of Olam HaZeh, of Olam HaSoisim. And that is the end, forever and ever. And that's what I'm talking. This world is prepared. You don't come back into this world, kacha. Not in that kuv, kilkum, shom, v'ezeh, kishtas. Of Zeh, that guy always had it. Gamalna. Yeah, once there was Abraham Lincoln, once there was Ravavina, once there was my great-grandfather. Yeah, it's a story. Historical records. That one day I'm going to be history. He's a low enlightened. For our Balimuna, though, that's the easy part. Balimuna, the more difficult part is that before, during, and after, there's a very, very difficult process that goes on. The dying is the easy part. But you know what happens after that? After that is it's a regents. A big test. They go in for the finals. There's a lot of questions on the finals. And every single one of them is personal. They didn't leave out a day and they didn't overlook anything. And it takes place in the Olam HaEmes. So there's no monkey business. And all your friends and relatives, and nobody else is there. They're all there. They're going right to right. And life is going on. And the one who gives the test is no malach or somebody that. The one giving the test is the Rabbi Yishan. And the scorecard that you're measured up against And the musagim are the musagim of netzach. And there's two brachot lefanim. You can go to some people go. And some people go to Gehenna. Okay, not so Gishma. And it all depends on how it's going to come out of the pin. We give you a pin. On all accounts, on all aspects of life. Now, let's, before you take a big test in our school, so they give you preparation test. See how you're doing if you properly prepare. So, it's a good idea for that test also. So, why don't we see, let's do a test. All right, now let's, without the problem, let's just give Johnny a soccer call. Right. What would it be, Beseder or Lobeseder? Pasfair. So it's going to be Pasfair. So anybody who jumps to the conclusion that it's Pas, it's got serious problems. We'll look at after shit. Please come to after shit. Otherwise, it's hard to get started on that. Also, please come to me after this year. I want a brother. But if you're not one of those two categories, then if the trade is a pass or fail, pass is not an acceptable possibility, so it's fail. Let's go on to some other shit. What's the next mission? What is it that I have to buy in the Makolet? What's the story in the bank? I have to take it. I have to go learn now. But I was above a counter. Don't ask questions, because there really seems to be no way out. Because if I say pass, then I'm not sure. If I say fail, then what? Very difficult to deal with. And there's going to be one of two possibilities. Either you're going to run from it, and the possibilities of running from it are so endless that the question is, what's going to bring you to think about in the first place, not what's going to bring you around from. But as soon as you're coming a little bit closer to the fact that you're actually going to have to say fail, somebody's going to call you on the telephone. They don't want this thing. So there are times, usually it's when a person's in a bad mood, that he comes to the conclusion that, and he didn't run. And he comes to the conclusion that it's fair. So what might you? But I'm only 22, I'm only 37, I'm only 48, I'm only 60, I'm only. How long am I going to be able to say I'm only? But to say right now, I can still say I'm only. And the bright right is, Ruachum, Chanon, Rachum, Erech HaPayim. Chol to say, Erech HaPayim. I'm okay, emotional, where are you? Say it. Fail. But it was only a test. I mean, it was only like a practice, like, the real thing. So now, at luck. My grandfather did, that guy down the street did. It could actually happen one day, it really is going to happen. It is going to happen. So the Seder, I've lived X amount of years until now, and the result has been failed. But I have X amount of years unknown, and obviously, then you're not willing to accept it. So, either a person will not find a way out of this, will not find a way to run away from it, and he will break. He will break. This has been critical. This is the reason why this is high potent medicine, and it is dangerous. You could get an overdose, because if you force yourself down the path without an escape, and you really come to the conclusion of fail, and you don't see any realistic way that you can see that in the next 30 years anything's going to be different than the last 30, then a person should come to Yiddish. And Yiddish, that's really fair. A person came to Yiddish, and as long as a person is in Yiddish, then he doesn't have a chance. So, this is the groundwork where Reb Shimon comes in. Reb Shimon is trying to bring in for us the third part of his formula. And he knows, he didn't even want to mention it. He said it to me. He only gave us the answer. He didn't say the question. He looked at Benny and explained. He went straight to the final point. You have to deal with the fact that you're going to die. Because that is endpoint. And you have to deal with the fact that when you die, all of your life is going to be put up for judgment. And all of Netzach Netzachim is going to be determined solely and only by how you did on that point. And right now you, Chara, came to a very nice confession, proper, pass, it's ridiculous, as my Shun comes and tells us a Yisrael Otsum, which it takes a certain scabrous to be able to come to it. I said, I'll tell you, Rosh. That's very tough. So he has a solution to this problem. The solution is, I'll tell you, Rosh. For sure. Fail? Not that then I'm not going to fail. If right now, Kirega, Chas V'Shalom, any person will be brought up there for the Bechina, the person's proper Toyodic attitude should be not fail. What is it that Rosh Hashanah wants in my life? Things were bad enough, but what do you want me to do? You want me to pull myself into thinking that I'm going to be a Tzadik, that everything's okay? Did I pass? So the Rebbeinu says no. Rebbeinu says no. That's not Reb Shimon. That before a person entered the world, a mashpia, the neshama, even if the whole world calls you a tzaddik, don't believe me. The Rebbeinu has a prerush. Vadai, that's the prerequisite. That's law. That's before this discussion by far. That a person can't come to a conclusion any time in his life. I'm ready for you, when you're ready for me, I'm ready for you. The person, Chas V'Shalom, would come to the conclusion that he's a tzaddik, then that itself would be such an aveir that would probably, in the Ben Shalom scales, overcome whatever squeeze he does have. Vadai, such a person would be that Balgaiva, that's the Teres Hashem, called Dor HaLev, that Einan Hibu Hu Yochel, Lo Do Lo Hilum Echad, and the Bein Shem would tell him, listen, it's either me or you, and I'm not going anywhere else. not Gishman. So what is it that Hashem is telling us? So the Dovrish, in the beginning it sounds a little... It sounds like a ridiculous psychological trick that doesn't work. So, don't think you're a tzaddik, but don't think you're a rasha. In other words, this approach, is it pass-fail? No. It's not pass or fail, I'm beating you in the middle. And now it depends on what I do next. The last 30 years has added up to beating you in the middle. I'm chatzi zaka and chatzi chayev. Now I'll be able to depend on what will be my next step. But until now it's 50-50. Come on. Come on. But I understand you're just not good, so you're telling me that an eight, so you're trying to convince me, you make me feel good, you pat me on the back, and you... Come on, I had cocoons that I had been through death. And I can run away from the subject at any time, just go over there and have a pie, but we're not doing that. So, what kind of, this is a new escape trip. Yeah. Oh, I tied is 50-50 until that means Seder and Hazonah. It leaves us very dry, it leaves us feeling there. Is it talking impossible to form the relation? Is the formulation talking impossible? Isn't there a real answer to this? So it depends. So you're going to ask a good, or anybody thinks like a good. So we think we spoke about that's the sheet of Bilam Rashi. They have a sheet that is a base manager that teaches in their base manager. I don't know if we spoke about this. In their base managers, they teach Ayin Ra. They give Shurim, Shmuzim, Slavus, that you should really work on the meter Ayin Ra. And those Ayin Tov people who want, they should have any Yashpo on us, destroy it. Ayin Ra. It's a Shita. It's a base measure, Shabun Ra. What is a base measure? Tell me it's Midrash Rois, I hear. It's a Shita. What's the Shita? The Shita in it, just because I'm trying to keep to what we're talking about here, is that they add up and they come to a real conclusion to look at who you form. Don't you see that the result is Ra? Yura, Amra, everything's Ra, the result is Ra. Sure, there's a theoretical toy, that's good for the Ben Shem and his Melochim. Right? Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem. But me, you, this guy, and so, that guy, he's also right. Yeah, I'll show you, look, this, and he has that, the sun. When are you stepping in? Foolish. When are you going to wake up, get out of your pipe dreams? Right? Stop. Open up your eyes and you see, I'll show you everything you're right. So you have a Shita that says that the evidence is that really everything is right. And Beis Medrash Shel Avraham Avinu has a very different Shita. And Beis Medrash Shel Avraham Avinu says, Olam Chesed. And in fact, the Ma'aseh Tachlis. How many people do you know? 10,000? Yeah, we met, no. Say 10,000. Of all those 10,000, how many are you expecting to see in your native when you get there? Tachlis. But think about yourself. 10,000. All your native. How many are going to make it to your native? Yourself, you get confused. How about all those people? What about all of them? Chai Yisrael's been around for a long time. What about all these generations? Are they all, where are they going to be? When we get upstairs, where are we going to find them? What's more overcrowded? Gan Eden again. Where is it like, yeah. So, you learn Pirkei Avos in the moon. Chai Yisrael, they start, they finish, Chai Yisrael is the baby. Everybody, Chai Yisrael. Everybody is going to somehow in the end get there. So, Echzolech. To go into the protein of the Malchi and Din, and exactly how it works, is not the tachlis right now of what we learn. We will find some opportunity one day to speak about it. But let's just take the Amuna, what the Klai Yisrael knows, is that we move to Echal Yidach Menonidach. The Rebbein Shalom has many ways. Rebbein Shalom has many processes. And how they all work is Kishonah Derachmona, secrets of the Rebbein Shalom. And we don't have to know the Pratim right now. But we have to know that Olam Chesed Yibane, and the Rebbein Shalom created the world, even though he gave it over to our Bechira, but he didn't take any chances. There is no possibility of a cosmic failure. And the Rebbein Shalom promised, in terms of Klai Yisrael, that not only is Klai Yisrael going to make it, but Al Yidach and Menonidach. Each Neshama, all of the Neshama, are going to make it. Okay, it's a little more reassuring, I hear. So maybe I can talk to him on the chat. Some Tzadikim Yeshua, I'm from that Mephilah guy. So here I am in Malaysia, ready when you are, like, you know. I'm you. Well, I'm Shabbos, gosh. I'm saving, huh? So, well, again, we're not talking about people who are going to take any of these things to go to the ridiculous extreme of thinking that he's a tzaddik. I'm not sure you can go in front of the Kisei Shukovit and say, aren't you proud of me? So we have to know that we stand on an extremely, extremely fine line, where either side is totally and absolutely unacceptable in death. If a person thinks that he's a tzaddik, that's possible. If a person thinks, when he thinks about the subject, wow, it doesn't no erech apayim. He thinks that he's a rasha, so Shlomo says not to do. If you're going to, in the end, the final tachlis, think that you're a rasha, then whatever you call it, the maisa, what you have in your heart, is you, our hofshi, you. And that's not going to bring to nothing good. That's death. You die before your days. There's once a very Dalvin and Rabotka once had to make a point to one of his Talmidim. Took him over to the window and said, look outside. He says, what do you see? Straight people. Yaakov the shoemaker, still out of here. What am I supposed to do? Maybe what do you see? I see a basic forest. Says, this guy was killed by Kina, and this one was killed by Tiger. And this guy, he has a big tail on his back. This is Barry, the Rosh Hashiva, the big Hashiva. He was killed by an accident of Tiger. So I was killed by Tiger's mom. That was killed by the fact that somebody didn't give him enough attention. This one was killed by the fact that his mom, you know. Basic laws. If you don't fall by the wayside, thinking you're sad, most people don't fall that way. You have to be like really stupid. Very easy. Most people don't enter this dangerous territory of halal. It doesn't mean you're not there. It's just way, way down below this. But if you're not thinking you're a tzaddik, and if you don't have the yisrael that Hashem says here, bal kochoch, be'emes, you think you're a rasha. You think that if you would be called right now, tachlis, what is it going to be? You're going to give yourself a not except to go to wherever they send people that didn't make it. I'm sure he tells us it's a mistake. Not only because it's not Kedai, but to Emes, it's a long haul. That's Bilam HaRosh. That's Ayin Ro on a person himself. A person himself is not only allowed to have Ayin Ro on other people, he's not allowed to have Ayin Ro on himself. Now he has to be able to go down this Gesha Kola Olam Kula Gesha Tzan Mo'id. Here we can hear how tzar that is, that Gesha. It's a hell. There's no capability of seeing yourself as a tzaddik, and there's no capability of seeing yourself as a Vadai, the overweighing koichos that balance the obvious vicious that each person comes to the conclusion on himself is the chesed elyon of the Rebbe. The Recholon V'Rachon Hu, the Rav Chesed, the Nichem Al-Aro, all of the Cheshbonis of all of the Yugilim Yisrachim, all of the Yerusha of the Ovis, all of the Yisurim that a person goes to, all of the Degrati, the Pani points, all of the Cheshbonis Gedolis that there are coming on our side, which are basically the totality of the demonstration of the Chasdei Hashem, are those Koichos that stand over every yid's shoulder and are constantly maneuvering the situation so that in every moment of his person's life, as long as he's alive, he's standing at a point of prayer. A person who is perfect doesn't have prayer. There were such that happened, the first Yitzhak of Hino, so he got a point of Yitzhak, and it is Chalal Hashem Shemai Allah because of the Kilo, he's no longer in the world. A person who's been stempled as a Russian, in real terms, doesn't have here. A person who's stempled himself as a Russian, even though theoretically he does ask Priya, but he's been Moichra out of Priya. If he's decided he's out of the picture, then he almost no any Priya Kaivalya he makes is by chance. He has no motivation, he has no good agreement. The Chonon V'Racham who the Koichos of Chesed Hashem, they have thousands of forms and expression. Some of them very pleasant and reassuring. Some of them not very pleasant at all. They're not reassuring. Everything that we spoke about last week, all of the difficulties. Well, why is life always so difficult? And the Choshev of a person is, the higher he gets, life gets more difficult. Okay. No going to have a difficult like Eden. Nada. Because the closer you come to Tachlis, the more the Rebbein Shlomo has to work hard to make sure that the balance is kept. The Rebbein Shlomo guarantees that as long as you have the attitude that you will not take yourself as a Rosher and you will not take yourself as a Tzaddik, but you will stand as a Tzaddik, meaning the Rabbi Yochum Tzaddik, a person who's in the battle, he's not clear. He can go either way. He's not yet a tzaddik, but he's in the fight. He could be geek. Just one more thing, and he can get there. Then the Rebbein Shlomo promises that you do yours and I'll do mine. Mida keneged mida is the basic mida of the Rebbein Shlomo's hashgacha. If a person has a munah in the basic yisoid of bchira, which is mechayiv the fact that at every moment of a person's life, he's still standing in the middle. He didn't die yet. He's not perfect. He's not a tzaddik. And he's not a rosh. Our cheshbonos doesn't add up. In our cheshbonos, we should come to the conclusion that we're a rosh. That the Rebbein says, but I told you in my Torah that I'm going to, at every moment of your life, be ma'amid the tzuras olam in the matzav of bechira. Bechira means an totally equal balance. At all times, in all situations, regardless. You don't know how it works? Who knows how it works? You don't have to always know the cheshbon is bidyuk how he does it. Anyhow, it helps that if you see a left-hand punch come at you, and you didn't know exactly why and what, and you're fixing the scales. Okay. Whatever we do, with mitzad, mitzad chesed, mitzad tzaddik, mitzad doing what's right, mitzad doing what's wrong, every one mitzvah that we do should outweigh the scales, and now it's finished. Here's finished. I've done it. But as soon as you do a mitzvah, the version takes that mitzvah, puts it in the bank, and readjusts the scales, then you're back to 50-50. And the same thing with every other. But there's a tonight. You have to believe. Because if a person is made it that way, if a person lives life with this amuna, then the shkoch is there. And if you're not dealing with the subject, if you don't come to this absolutely impossible passage, where I zicher can't think that I'm a tzaddik. And if I think that I'm a rosha, then whatever, call it whatever you want, the maaseh I come to use. Then how's that feel? Until a person forces himself up against the wall, and he can't move. Now, you mean a small up, down? You have to feel that you choke to the end, then you come to the realization that there's a pchir in the basic emuna. Do I really move in pchina? Do I really move in pchina on a daily basis? Or every day at every stage of a person's life? And call it what you want and say any speeches that you like. If you don't hear of Shimon's message of Alti Roshavat Smechadi Erekai Pipipi, Lamaisa, you don't believe in pchina. So you get your psychologist, so you're up to explain you that, oh, I don't know, I don't know, that's for the old people, I don't worry about that, right? Right now, just do what's right. We'll tell you here. We'll help you. Fine. You avoid the issue at best. And in a chanami on a daily basis, this is such a delicate issue and such a dangerous issue that for people under the age of 35 in here, it doesn't have to be dealt with on a daily basis. After 35, you understand. But for everybody, Beyesaideh Hadas, Beyesaideh of a person's approach to Yiddishkeit and to the world and to life. Reb Shimon tells us, listen, we told you there's a starting point. You gotta know absolute starting point, no zuzot. There's no move for even the variance of a hair. The more you got it right, the more everything's gonna go smooth. The same thing is for the end point. The end point is we want to stand in front of the Kisei Yekum. And the end point is there is going to be a day. And it is the Mishkolos of the Beishan. The Beishan is the Shefet. And he's the Dayan. And he's the Eid. And they don't get Eid. The Shefet doesn't help. There's nobody going to be there to help you. And you have a Guf and Yitzhahara and problems and that's a problem. All that. So, you know what the scoreboard look like. So am I, so do I believe that that I'm half a half right now? Me'efo, where if I take such an emuna? It seems ridiculous. Bill in Russia, they'll tell you how stupid you are for believing such an absolutely ridiculous thing. When everybody's bidyuk in the middle. Are you crazy? Maybe once in 4 billion times it happens that you have somebody that's for a moment right in the middle. That's what Bill Marusha will explain to you. So everybody else, they'll take you up against Bill Marusha's show. They'll put you up against the wall. And they say, listen, what is it? Tzadik or Russia? And then you say, if you look in the middle, everybody cracks out laughing. They're nuts. That's totally ridiculous. What exactly, Bidyu? And tomorrow also, the next day also, and as soon as you do a mitzvah, you're still in the middle. And as soon as you do a mitzvah, you're still in the middle. I mean, come on. Make up your mind. So you saw perfect, exactly book in the middle, so you did another mitzvah. Here, I saw you. You did a mitzvah, so now you're tired, right? No, I'm still in the middle. But you didn't know there, so where are you now? I'm still in the middle. This any straight psychology. Yeah, pill or something, I don't know. Shock treatment, this guy's got. And Kaliyatzel stands up against the whole world and says, you people, think what you want. But every day of every Yitz life, whenever they are, and under all circumstances, and every again, and every time I do a mitzvah again, and every time I do a there again, I'm sheer. You know where I am? I'm right in smack in the middle. Mishkolos. 50-50. One more mitzvah? Sorry. One more veira. Mechiyas atzmiyas kolon. Then, if a person could come to realize this hashkafa, to come to realize this, elefan, I mean, we're not bali koyach to think about this on a daily basis. But if a person comes in the basic yisodis that run his life, that he knows that he came to this conclusion even once. He made this realization even once in his life. Then the whole picture looks different. No great maisa that a person does will bring him to Gehenna. And no terrible avera that a person has for shalom can come to will bring him to Yish. Because he has an emunah yisodis. Just like he starts with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he ends without the Yeroshev Niyazim. And Reb Shimon, Rishayim and Mephoshim that explained this history, a kokach mefurish, the Chorei Chayim, stood it from them, it's poshim. That this is b'yisoidei, the koyach that we have the capability of making this ridiculous stand and being right, is because the Rebbeinu Shalom told us in his Torah that there's here always. That the mitzvahs of life in this world is pure. And cheshbed it out, there's no other possibility. So how does it work? How does the Rebbeinu Shalom work it out? The big boy will take care of himself. You don't have to worry. It would be very nice to start learning the Ayim HaKadvon of how the Rebbeinu Shalom works all these things out. It's very interesting. You don't have to know how it's like. You have to know that it must be that way. And that the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Reif Chasdoi, Kichonon, Rachon, who all of the Yudkin Olmides, he finds a way of balancing it
But chas v'shalom, not in a way that it doesn't matter. Not to make us tzaddik. To make us bidiyuk. Whatever we're missing, his chesed will build out somehow, either through chasodim, through giving us dinim, ancient, whatever, we're again right on the middle. And every mitzvah that we do, takes it away, puts it up in the machal of Kabbalah's Torah, and rebalances the scales. This endpoint, this hasaga, although it's an extremely delicate, extremely difficult to come to. Here I said, very nice, wonderful thing, I believe. I try. A person has to be clean as I was with a lot of alma. A person has to, it's easy to say the words, but the mice, do you really believe that you're not in Russia? Do you really believe that right now, if you go up in front of the Kisei Yaakov and they'd cheshem you out, you'd come out 50-50? But that the Rishon runs this world, and he told us that that's the world that he's planning to give us, and the world is, that's all that counts. The only thing that matters is we're on the point of fear, and we have the capability of going this way at all time, in all situations. The major nafkimina of such a yisoid for us is that it changes the whole way a person lives. He has a solid. In the beginning, it looks like a siren that he has to stand on. It looks on such a flimsy basis. But once he stands on it, he isn't so rock solid that nothing can move. No mitzvah, great nice that a person does can bring him to gaiva. And no other can bring him to Yish. Sorry. And a person will be zeichu to live a life that way. But duach, b'lishum sofik, that when he actually does die, and he comes, if no kisei akovei, the schus of having lived that life, will vadei b'machriye him b'duach b'meach, as a tzaddik. That's what you look for, tzaddik. A yorkun tzaddik is a person who stands in fight. He doesn't run away. How can you not run away? L'chay, you must run away, either because you go into some dimyon that you want already, or you go into some also dimyon that might say, but pashas is mamash reality, that's a loss. The tzaddik gomor, the person who really tacky gonna make it in the end, is the one that his whole life, on a daily basis, regardless of what happens, both in the ups and in the downs, right? But his attitude is, wherever I am, I'm always in the mouth of it. This is the Yisrael HaMunah Chira, that gives us the kaf to be aimed in every single situation that will come to us as a soldier in battle, as a person, could go either way, it's up to us. No forces. We have 50-50 on all accounts. The should be zeichu the masses. We should understand this. He said this because he had the deep.
We finished the mystery. Saw that? Yeah, you got it under the wire.
I have a question.
You have a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If a person knows that no matter what he does, good or bad, he's always going to end up in the middle, so then what pushes him to do good or bad?
Okay, that's really a valid question. It's true, I didn't spend it fair enough. You're right, there's a room to make a mistake on anything. I explained it maybe just in passing clearly on the mitzvahs. To balance out, to rebalance the matzah, the fear, right? The person is a mitzvah, so the holy now is a tzaddik. So I said that. So eventually takes it, mitzvah, puts it up in the mizan, right? Not all of them are both. And you don't have it. But he does have to revere his too. You don't forget anyone. But Apophyton, this question works in both ways. One directly, and one as a result. That's what we're trying to explain. In this world, a person lives as a tzaddik means that he lived constantly in a matzav of fear. What?
Well,
yeah.
try it against you.
it's not shy.
You know why your real reason is? Because the real clear is to be a tzaddik or rosh, and whether you decide when you're going to fight. As soon as a person decides to put up a fight, he wins. Because there really isn't any fight. I think the rebellion and the emes on one side, and the yokel and the sheikh on the other side. What kind of fight is that? Like we always speak about it, chaim and mof, big choice. Right? Thanks. The fact is, we're given an opportunity to assume that either we're for sure going to live or we're for sure going to die. Right? As soon as the person puts on it, then he wins. Not always. But the whole thing, as soon as a person is umid, in this Muhammad as a tzaddik, sacha kol, why the Rabbi Yochum is saying that, the way Rabbi Yochum says it's maybe not fully understood. Why just because I put up a fight that I'm a tzaddik? But put up a fight, so you get brownie points for trying hard. Right? Or you turn into a tzaddik. That's the ikum Muhammad. The ikum Muhammad is not to get turned away from either tzaddik and always be in their fight. The person knows that it depends on him. And it can go either way at every point. So then it's real life. It's something like it really counts. Something matters. So then the chances are I'll make it happen. So you're going to be in front of it. Not all the time. Most of the time. You're going to end up. The mice, was he interested? Well, not that interested. It could be this way, that way, but it comes. The fact of the fact is that we have a capability of choosing to be ready for the fact. That's called tzaddik. Berichah to be a berichah. Once you're berichah, you're berichah, then you're in tzaddik. Vadai, with the other, and I'm trying to finish this with you. Look very nice, you have this one. The balance is always 50-50. But every time you do a mitzvah, right, the balance is 50-50 up a line. Every time you do a video, you're 50-50 down a line. What? On the Tesla's map, right? The background is always 50-50, but it can move over this way and that way. The person has a lot of area on his side, and the background all the way over there on his Hasidus, his Hasidus and Krishas, right? He's in very, very good shape. And he has a lot of advantages, even learning his own. Person has to show him who has his battleground on whether he's going to steal or kill. These are serious, serious problems. Even if he's going to come out on top right now, we're not kidding. But he's still 50-50. There are minute requirements also, how well you can look. But the whole thing is, every mitzvah, 50-50 is in practice. But every mitzvah raises the 50-50 to a higher level. That's all mitzvah will raise the mitzvah. And every veira brings the points of fear down a level. The lower you are, the harder the process of coming to fear is. The higher you are, the easier the process of being the tzaddik is. That's the advantage of being the tzaddik.
Next
step
is
just like everything in the world. You have a more difficult test, but you're better at it.
So the idea at this point, don't worry about what's going to happen in the end, you just look at what's next.
The tachlis of the whole year, the main tachlis is that this doesn't matter. All doesn't matter. The thing you have to know right now is what matters, and tomorrow's going to be like that, the next day's going to be like that, and that's the sacred. Even though the Quran doesn't measure it out that way, but when you have the whole person, it's mukha that way. And if not, you must come either to some of this mistake, or to use, or to escape this important danger. Run away from
it. The fact that what you have said, that the reality of death, and once it's over, it's over. So what pushes a person to want to do the mitzvah of the Aveda is the Aveda still going here. Once
once you pass that point, you never get fear anymore.
Right.
So what pushes you to want to do it? Because as long as you're 50-50, it's only fidelity. At 50-50 is only why you're still fighting. At 50-50 is only why you're in the battle.
You know what the last prayer is? Give up here? When you're death warned, when a person's hand is death warned, there are two possibilities. Either he's covered or not, right? And he's a drop, or he's covered or changed your mind. That means he's willing, he's perfect now to go along, give up his fear, and to the world play the nice. Or he fights. Fights, he's going to lose. Whether that's called the last mitzvah, sometimes it takes a form of an actual mitzvah avera. Sometimes the person is a semicolon. It takes a wilderness to the form. But regardless of what the stage is, the last bechira is the bechira to opt out. What was the hechreach that we said that you always have to be minded that you're not entitled to not yours? Because there's a retzion shemayim that you should always be a boyfriend. That was true day 1, 2, 3, 7, 7,000. Okay? But today in the Misa, the retzion shemayim is that you should not any longer be a boyfriend. Please hand it to the bechira. Now you have a bechira to do that and ask. That's the last bechira. You can hand it in or you can say, you try to fight it. When you try to fight it, you lose.
What? This is real. This is the glory that you're supposed to have last year. When you hand it in.
Okay. If you hand it in?
Yeah.
You hand it in, it's just good stuff.
With a nice glow with that. That's where you're supposed to go down. Yeah, I'm coming home. Thank you.
It's yours anyway.
Yeah, right.